We'll give everybody just another minute or so to finish logging in. Okay, I guess we will go ahead and get started. Okay, no, sorry. Got myself confused and thought I was still muted, and I'm not. I don't see any announcements on our agenda. Does anybody have any announcements they would like to share? Alrighty, not hearing anything. Today we have Callie Matthews here, who's going to talk about the Mark Authority app, and I will stop sharing and let her get started.
Okie doke, thank you. Hi, everybody. Happy Thursday. Okie doke. Hi, I'm Callie Matthews. I'm here to talk a little bit about Folio Mark Authorities at Stanford. There was a request in the Slack to share more about MARC authorities and how they're working for libraries that are using them. So I thought since a group of us from Stanford presented to data import, we could share some of that same information with this group. So this presentation, I'm presenting, but the work that is being shared in these slides is a crossover between the Metadata Services Department at Stanford and Library Systems. Nancy Lorimer, Alyssa Hafele, Jeanette Kalchick, and perhaps others were also involved in this. So it is a group and team effort for sure. And they're on the call and will help if I mess anything up or if there are questions that kind of sit in their area of expertise that can help clarify things. So I'm going to go over some background. I'll talk a little bit about kind of the basic functionality of the app right now, some of the issues that we uncovered with its functionality from a more a cataloger perspective, and then I'll talk a little bit about the authority settings, which are a little bit more on the admin side, but impact how the app can be used. So to give a little background, my role at Stanford is the Authorities and Entity Management Librarian. I actually primarily work with linked data and BibFrame, among other OWL-based RDF vocabularies. So getting back into MARC has been really interesting, especially after not really working with MARC a lot since I've started here at Stanford, which was just after Stanford went live with Folio in 2023. So I started around the time Folio became live in production, which was a very cool time to be joining the team. There was a break from loading and processing authorities until 2025. So we are really just in a place of getting back into our groove with authorities processing. Through this transition, we were able to combine Lane Medical Library's authorities with the Stanford University Library authorities. So they were previously processed separately and now they are processed together. To give you a sense of the scale, the total authority records we have are over 4 million, and we processed about 380,000 bibliographic records for enhancements with our authorities vendor. We are on Quiznalia for both production and stage. And so you'll see screenshots from both environments in this presentation. Stage has the orange banner at the top, or menu bar rather, but both are on Quiznalia. So that may give you a sense of like what kinds of features may or may not be available and what kinds of fixes may or may not be in place. So Alyssa and the LibSys team did a lot of local analysis before we implemented anything, including a thorough review of the Folio functionality for the Mark Authority app and its overall development. She developed a timeline and a plan for implementing authorities that was super thorough, and I think would be a great starting place for anyone looking to start using the Mark Authority app. It included plotting out a timeline, a tentative like draft plan that could change as we learned more information, what information was needed from each team member or unit, and a sequence for getting that information, which I thought was super helpful. It kind of allows you to plan for any dependencies. You know, you can't move forward in this area until you have information from this team, which I think is just a great practice across any implementation. She reviewed various tools we might use for resuming authorities, looked at historical practices, and also practices happening at other institutions, and then had a section in a document for documenting issues and questions as they came up. So the resuming authorities process had a few different components. So a Lane library had sent their pre-migration Voyager records to the vendor for enhancements. And then library systems loaded that returned file. We sent our bib records, including Lane's, since the Folio migration. So that was between August of 2023 and June of 2025. There was also a small October load, I think, included there. So we would call that like our gap file. And then library systems loaded those return bibs and the authorities for all libraries in a series of batches. So this is Alyssa's kind of a condensed version of and like a less localized version of some documentation she wrote up for our automated ongoing processes for authorities. So we use an automated process with Apache Airflow, which is an open source tool we use here at Stanford in a lot of different data transformation and data pipeline workflows. It enables us to schedule jobs, to pick up and drop off, for lack of better words, files. So on each Friday, a select process is run where the system looks for Folio instance records that have become cataloged, so a status of cataloged within the last 7 days. They're not suppressed from discovery. We do exclude some records for licensing reasons or other reasons from this export, but it runs once a week after hopefully everyone's done working at 7 Pacific. And then on Saturday, those records are sent to the vendor via FTP. They process those records and then ideally return them on Saturday, which we then use to load for that week's process. We also have a monthly process. This happens on the second Wednesday of each month. The vendor sends our authority notification files that include new, updated, and deleted authority records. This is also automated through data import with Airflow on a scheduled basis. So, how does it work? What did we discover? So, as I said, we're on Quiznalia. This is a screenshot from Stage. We can currently link certain fields one at a time. The link all headings button at the top produces an error toast warning that tells you you need to link them one at a time. So, this is an example of me kind of hovering over the 100 with a name that I could link to. Once you click on that button, a search opens and it runs a string search over the term in the subfield A and presents a authority record if a match is found. So in this example, John Foley is found, and I can select link up in the right-hand corner here to link this authority record, which has been loaded into Folio Stage, to the bibliographic record that references this name. And when I click on that, subfield zero is entered into that field, and you can see we have that in our record under the 920 for now, subfield A. And these, so you see the fields are kind of, they turn into these, like it's almost like a tabular setup. So the term is now grayed out and I can't really edit it. I can add a subfield E author if I would like to add a relator term, and I can add a subfield one in the second box if I would like. But you'll see the subfield zero is kind of reflecting what we see for the name. And again, it's a subfield zero because it's the name, and a subfield one would be for the agent or real world object URI. And I get a nice little toast that says, you've linked it to the MARC authority, and you can go, yay. And if there were other fields that had authority records or were able to be linked, you would see additional little link icons. And you can see now that it has been linked, it sort of reverts to the action you would take. So initially, it was a link that just says, it's almost like begging you to link it. And in this case, you would be breaking that link. And that's why it looks like a little break. And some of you might know this already, but I thought it would be good to just go over it in case. So we created a document to kind of gather feedback from all of the catalogers testing this functionality. I linked to it in the slides, and we shared this with Data Import. It was just a way to kind of comb through. We use Slack at Stanford. Everybody's comments and aggregate them and make sure that the comments and kind of issues reported were documented in a way that we could recreate the issues and we could explain it to other people to see if they were also experiencing those problems or if they were already documented and resolved elsewhere, and provide screenshots of those issues so that we could be really clear about sharing what we were finding. So you can take a look at that doc. Some things have changed since then, but I think it's for the most part a good snapshot of the things we discussed and found at the time. And these next few slides are just an overview of some of those discoveries. And I think none of this is like deal breaking, so to speak, but they are things to look out for. And some of them I believe are being addressed, if not have already been addressed in future releases. But I think it's still good to go over what we found. So when you click link and that search is run, there are some details that you might need to keep into account. So this first one, search skip subfield C in the authority search. This is one that I was like, I feel like someone said this was fixed, but I couldn't find documentation to back that vague memory up. So test it out. But at the time, it would skip the subfield C, and that would return no results. And you can, edit that search once the window opens up to find what you're looking for, but it's a little bit spotty in terms of the results you would get. Search does not find a match when you look up a field with a subfield T. Kalila let us know in the data import meeting that this is actually fixed in Trillium, so that's great news. But I have an example here of a case where in Quiznalia we experienced that not working. It doesn't find the match. Again, you can like adjust your search to see if you can find a match, but if you just click link and expect it to come up, you might think you don't have an authority record for it when you do. Authorities seem to search by an exact phrase, heading, text, string, matching. So if the same term exists across multiple vocabularies, it may link to the wrong heading. And this was concerning for us from just like a workflow, a manual one at a time linking process, but also, and perhaps especially if there was an automated linking process. So, how would the system know which vocabulary to choose from if it's searching based on a text string? when you attempt to link the 240 field, it directs you to the Browse tab and the Name Title Search option. However, the search only queries the title portion and not the full name heading. So in that instance, you do have to edit the query so that the author's name is being returned in the results. Though in some cases, when we did edit it, we were still unable to find the correct record. When linking the 650 field to an authority record in QuickMark, the subfield A is separated from the other subfields, even if the full field is fully controlled. And then the last two are really kind of like UI UX considerations, though perhaps I have hidden everything, but perhaps Christina's joined the call. There are updates to the UI, at least on the authority setting side. But when you are linking a subfield zero, in the Mark bib, if an existing subfield one is present, linking the subfield zero can push it further down. So if there are two subfield ones present, the first will only be visible. And if only one subfield one is present, it will be displayed. So it's dynamically adjusting to the contents of the field. And so sometimes it takes a little getting used to figure out the behavior, what's going to happen when you add or delete some information. A new field opens for the subfield E, subfield 4, 6, and 1 goes in the second free text box that I showed you earlier. If a subfield 4 is saved in the first text box, it is moved to the second after saving. So I just really recommend testing it out and getting used to things because it just has its own little quirks. We got some feedback from catalogers that the UI wasn't totally clear with respect to what is being linked and where. So when you click on that link button, some catalogers thought it could be linking to an external system. And we kind of had to explain that that link is actually linking within our Folio instance to our authority record. So, and that it's finding the authority based on the text string. It's not finding it based on the subfield zero or one, which I think there's just a little bit of confusion about what is actually happening, even though it's great that we can link them and view exactly how it's happening in most cases. So that's like more on the linking and usage side. And then on the setup side, there is this whole aspect in settings for authority settings. So we provided separate feedback for that. Christina had asked us to document some more details based on the data import meeting about some of the issues we were experiencing. And it took a lot of testing and a lot of trial and error. Alyssa, Jeanette, and I were all testing different things, or sometimes the same thing, to confirm that what they were experiencing, I was experiencing, or vice versa. So I've linked to that doc here. This is in the Folio Wiki, so you can view it. And I just highlighted a couple of things. So this gets kind of in the weeds, but I think it's important. So we noticed that certain fields were editable and uneditable. And some fields were required and some weren't. And it didn't always align with our assumptions about what might be required, what might be editable. So one example is the base URL. So in authority settings, each one of these rows, and I know the screenshot is a little tiny, but each one of these rows is essentially a profile for that authority. So the first one is the Art and Architecture Thesaurus. And you can see the full name, like a label or a description for that vocabulary, is listed in column one, and that's starred required. These are defaulted vocabularies. There are many that are, in settings when you open it already. There's a prefix that's associated with that vocabulary, and then there's a base URL associated with that vocabulary. It is not, we can edit that. It's not required, like the prefix and the name, but it's not possible to reuse a base URL if you wanted to configure a local setting for one of the default authority settings. So let's say I have some examples of this in further slides, actually. I won't go into that. And this all came into light after we were unable to edit certain prefix values that we needed to change. And so we can edit the default settings for the base URL, but not other things. And we can say, you know, it's active or it's not. We have to provide an HRID starts with, which I think is what I have next. So the HRID starts with field is blank for all system default authority settings, but it is required for new or local files. So I had this idea in my head, well, I don't have maybe all the pieces I need for my authority profile, but I want to get started. I want to create the row. I want to have the name in place. Maybe I know what the prefix will be. So I'll just set that up and save it, and I'll come back to it later and I'll add the base URL and I'll add this HRID starts with. And I found that I couldn't do that. And I was a little bummed because I like to save time and kind of like get started on what I can. And if I have questions, you know, I'll ask one of my colleagues and then come back to it later. And so I was like, what is this HRID starts with? You know, what does it even do? In my work, I'm working a lot with the Synopia-linked data editor. I'm working with Marva, the new BlueCore prototype. I work in Folio inventory, but not to the extent that some of my colleagues do. So I was a little bit like, what is this? And I thought it was a little bit unclear since it was blank in all the default settings, what I would do with it in a new local configuration. So we started testing things, and you can see, like, just to get tests done, we would enter a one and we would enter the one across many tests. There's no unique requirement there, like a unique value requirement. We can just say they all start with one, and it seemed to work fine for our testing purposes. And this was very clear to Jeanette and Alyssa, like, they knew kind of what this was about. But as someone who didn't work across a lot of other apps, I didn't think it was very clear. And when I tried to look for documentation that explains how this required field should be used, I couldn't really find anything. I mean, not to say it doesn't exist, but I didn't know. There's a lot of documentation, which is really great for Mark Authority, but it's a little hard to like sift through a lot of it and figure out where that small detail might be. The other issue we had that was kind of more of like those things were difficult, but like fine. One challenge we have is really with the prefix values. So we have two use cases that I've highlighted here. The GSAFD authorities that we have are not being recognized in Folio, despite the authority settings profile. I think I added a cool little. Woo. So if you don't know what that is, guidelines on subject access to individual works of fiction, drama, et cetera. The Library of Congress assigns these headings. And it's a default in authorities. With the prefix is a lowercase GSAFD. Our 001s, where Folio is looking for these prefix values, stores GSAFD in capitals. We can't edit the authority settings. So they are, you know, lowercase and not, we can't change it. And the documentation that I found states, and I should say, the documentation that I'm referring to, I believe, is a JIRA issue. And it's in the details of the JIRA issue for building the Mark Authority app. It says that the prefix values are not case sensitive, but in our testing, which I'll show you some screenshots of, we have found that they are case sensitive. So since the base URL needs to be unique, we can't augment the profile with a local configuration, and we can't edit our 001s and match on them. I tried, you know, what if we just change our 001s and have them be lowercase? That's what we're matching on, and the matching is also case sensitive. And I can't match on the UUID, which makes a lot more sense to me, honestly. I used to work in an Alma library system where we have the MMS ID, and it's this 991 long string of numbers. And I would always match on that because it was kind of separate from any content in the record. It was just this like unique identifier for kind of just matching purposes, really, and data transformation and operational kind of uses, where this 001 actually has meaning. So it's a little tricky, and I'd like to use the UUID, but I don't think that's currently possible in field mapping profiles. So that's something to be aware of and to like look at your OO1s and see if your case will be an issue. We have, I suppose, like we could have fixed them all and then loaded them as new, but now that they're already in, I'm not sure. We might have to plan around that or see what we want to do. Hopefully it will be fixed and we don't have to reinvent the wheel here. The second use case is that we have additional codes for some RBMS vocabularies, so rare books and manuscripts that aren't being identified in the authority settings because they aren't included in the default prefix settings for RBMS, so such as the code RBBN, which I think is rare books binding. And we can't configure it locally because the base URL needs to be unique. And this is only annoying because when a cataloger is trying to filter by vocabulary, anything that doesn't match a prefix value is dumped into this category called not specified. And if you needed to filter by vocabulary, like if you wanted to filter by rare books binding, you would have to look in not specified, which covers potentially anything that isn't finding the prefix value. So in our case, that would include our BBN and it would include GSAFD and whatever else wasn't matching. I think there's actually a couple of RBMS prefix values that are being lumped into that category. And so I just have here this like potential hazard where prefixes can't be changed for local authority files if existing MARC authority records are assigned. So if you go into authority settings and you try to change a prefix and that prefix is in use with an authority file, it will tell you you can't change it. And I can imagine rare but potential circumstances where you might need to update a prefix or a base URL in authority settings. So one example is if there's a authority that isn't currently published as linked data but becomes published as linked data, I could imagine they would take the opportunity to adjust the URI patterns and the URLs that are assigned. And in that case, what would we do if we needed to change the prefix or we needed to change a base URL, but it was already in use? Would we have to delete all of those authorities and then load them as new? Or I don't even know how that would work if they're linked to BIBS. So there's just a lot of questions about how that would work down the line. So this is an example of that toast. So a lot of the examples we were testing with was with trying to address this case issue. So GSAFD genre terms case test cannot be saved. Existing authority records are already assigned to this authority file. And these are just some screenshots to help visualize the case problem. So authority source not specified. Most of these are GSAFD. We see the capitalized term in the 001, and we see the lowercase prefix value in the default settings, which we can't edit beyond the HRID starts with the base URL and whether it's active or not. You can see the sources folio. And then this is an example of us being able to fix it. So what we did was create a local configuration with the prefix value being capitalized. And you can see that it picks up the test genre terms authority source because it's able to match on the 001. And you can see you can filter by that now, which I think is so handy. I mean, it's one of my favorite features is that you can filter by authority source. So I'm kind of hung up on this because I think in work, it would just be wonderful to be able to do that. So our next steps are really just to keep getting our feet set, to analyze and make adjustments to the vendor processing profiles for authorities and bibliographic records as needed. We're going to establish and maintain, which like I guess they are established, the automated processing routine. Right now, we're just working on kind of maintaining it and figuring out how we'll resolve errors when it, making sure we're clear on when it's running, And then once that's all in place, I think the next natural step would be to prioritize some of the issues we're finding and figure out how we want to tackle them and in what order. We're also kind of in the very, very early stages of investigating how we might do authorities with linked data. Nancy and I co-convened the Linked Open Data SIG, which was previously co-convened by Laura Daniels and Chris Long until relatively recently. And so we're curious about, if there are limitations in the MARC Authority app and they're good for now, where do we want to go in the future? And I think something I'm always balancing, whether it's in Folio or other aspects of my work, is how much to ask MARC Authority app to change versus how much to build new infrastructure for RDF-based authority data, whether that's MADS RDF or something else. And then I had this blank slide because if Christina's here, she had offered to share a little bit about the updates to the authority settings UI, which are really exciting and I think huge improvements. They really give each authority profile its justice. You can actually see what you're configuring with a little more clarity. So I don't know if she's here, but if so, that would be really great to see. And otherwise, that's all I have. Thanks.
Thank you so much. I am not seeing Christine here, but maybe we can get her to share something in Slack, or we can get her to write something up that we can add to our minutes if need be. Any questions for Callie or the rest of the Stanford team?
And Alyssa, Jeanette, if I missed anything you'd like to highlight, don't be shy.
Charlotte?
So I have a question, and that is, what would your recommendation be to libraries who is on Folio now and is planning to get started on using MARC authorities? Is it to do as you do? Start out now with Chrisnelia Ramsons, or would you maybe recommend wait until it's Sunflower, maybe even Trillium? Is there a lot of new work happening, so it is better to not struggle as much as I can hear under between the lines in your presentation? Or
Yeah, maybe Alyssa and Jeanette have thoughts on this too. I think my personal perspective is I think a lot of what drove us to do this sooner was that we wanted to store our MARC authorities somewhere. They weren't anywhere at the moment. So I think Nancy's kind of vision for it was at least let's have our MARC authorities in Folio and see how it goes. And I think there was a lot of value in testing that out with the current functionality. The UI changes that Christine showed me, the mock-up changes, are really fantastic. Like to be able to configure an authority on a screen at a time, I think really does give it the attention each configuration needs. It's not like a single line to me was a little bit jarring to think about the impact of everything I was doing. And the font is so tiny. So like if UI things are important to you, you might want to wait. I don't know how long that development is going to take. I think one thing we're definitely waiting on is the automated processing for authorities. We have a lot of questions about how that's going to work. So if you really value automation and automated linking and you don't have an interest in linking fields one at a time, it's a judgment you have to call. So I would say people should think about what they value and what's important to them. Like, what do you want to get out of this process? And if it's worth it, I think it's worth trying. But if it just seems like too much, or you won't get, I don't know, it won't improve your situation for whatever reason, waiting is, I wouldn't say, a bad option either.
Thank you.
I'll just add, I agree with what Callie said. I'm coming at it from the library systems perspective, so more about the processing of the files and the loading. And I was really hesitant to start on this work initially because of the lack of automated linking. I wasn't really able to see why we would put in the effort right now. That being said, now that we've done it, I feel like it really allowed us to work through a lot of questions that we had that we couldn't work through as well, just talking about it theoretically. So we've been able to, really clear some things up by doing this work, even though it's not 100% done, and we know we're going to have to revisit it in terms of automated and bulk linking.
Yeah, that's a really great point because I think we have a lot of systems set up for bibs. So having this new kind of stream of data coming into Folio is like, I mean, it's been a great learning experience for me to learn more about how data import works and how even data export works, like if I want a report. But yeah, that was, thanks, Alyssa. That was awesome. I agree.
This is Jeanette. I would like to clarify one thing about data import. It is possible to match on the UUID. What we were running into, the issue was the 001 has certain functionality built into data import. So once it's created, we weren't able to update it, is the issue. So trying to change the case was the problem. But you can match on different match points in the authority record, such as the UUID.
Any other questions? All right. So it was a really good presentation, and I think it probably gave a lot of us things to think about. So I do think a lot of people are waiting for the automated linking. So I think a lot of people haven't really dived into this yet. So, but thank you so much. And we are now ready on to meeting updates, Jennifer.
Hello everyone. So let me share my screen. Hopefully you can see the Product Council updates. Yes,
Yes.
this. Yay! All right, let me just put the in chat. So Product Council today really focused. We always have liaison updates. So if you would like to know what's happening in Technical Council or Community Council, as well as RMS, which is the Release Management Stakeholder Committee, you can come see information for the Product Council with these updates. But we mainly focused on the working groups review. So we have a number of working groups which were kind of, we thought of these working groups at WolfCon. So we're just getting started with that. If you would like to review the charter, this is all availably accessible. One is working on the community priority dashboard. Then there is the community-directed development framework. And then there is the RMS PC roles. So these notes, eventually they'll have links to the charters, which you can read. And this will help inform not just Product Council, but all of the SIGs going forward. Any questions about these working groups or any updates, from TCCC or RMS? Awesome. All right. Going on, there has been no Bella meeting, and Bella actually will not have meetings for the rest of the year, though Magda did say that they will put out some UATs either in November, and I'm not sure how many there'll be, maybe one or two, who knows,
No, well, we're almost end of November, but maybe late November, early December. So, stay tuned for more information that would be posted for those. With data import, we talked more about our process in terms of how to participate in the development, community development of data import. And we now have these, I'll just show these pages. We now have a page that really describes the pathways, you know, how to report a bug, how to request a new topic, check in issues status. This is still kind of a work in progress. This explains our process, as well as a list of dashboards and the filters used to create the dashboards. And one new thing that we are implementing now is a comment and review process for new functionality, which this is, we just posted this in Slack. So we're going to give at least a minimum of 1 week where we post the summary of a new topic that was proposed, where the community can, you know, share their feedback. And then afterwards in the meeting, we will create a Jira topic along with our PO for this new functionality. And we'll have this kind of decision log going for everything that was newly requested for data import. So that's very exciting. And that's all the news for data import. Any questions about that? All right, well, that's it for updates.
Thank you very much, Jennifer. And that brings us to the end of our meeting. I do not think we have a topic yet for next week. So if you have something you would like to discuss or present about, or would like us to come up with someone to present on, please let us know in Slack and enjoy your extra 17 minutes.